Of the mountain, it was to be stoned to death. You can see why we were scared. And then, while we were watching, in the midst of the dark, forbidding clouds and the dank gloom, there were lightning flashes and the rumbles of thunder getting closer and closer, and then a most tremendous storm with great waves of wind, one after another, that blew some people over and made others lie flat on the ground and caused parents to hug their children tight. I've never been in a storm like that before, with the lightning flashing about us all the time. Out in the wild, you felt you might be struck at any moment. It was nature at its most brutal. And apart from us, there was no one about. But as if that wasn't enough, there was now a long trumpet blast getting louder and louder. Don't imagine a reassuring sound played by a skilled trumpeter. It was quite the opposite of that. For us, the trumpet normally means one thing: war. And this deafeningly loud sound, with no one to be seen, no one making it, only added to our confusion and fear. And then came the voice. No form, no one visible, just the voice. But we knew immediately who was speaking. It was God. And that was the final straw. God is not reassuring for us, or at least he certainly wasn't that day. And the people all felt that if they heard another word from him, they wouldn't be able to stand his presence. They'd all die. "You go up and listen to him," they said to me. "You tell us what he says, but we don't think we can survive if we hear another word." And so I did what they said. Not because they said it, but because he told me to come up. So I went up on that mountain, all alone. There was no one there but me, sinner that I am. And I was trembling, just as afraid of any of them, perhaps even more. On that mountain, I received what you call the Old Covenant. And I brought it down to the people with its rules and its promises. I was only the messenger. I didn't make it happen. And at the heart of that Old Covenant, that old agreement between God and man, was blood. In fact, what you call the Old Testament has blood from beginning to end. It begins with the blood of Abel, brutally killed by his brother Cain. Blood that cries out to God for justice and punishment of human sin. And much of the covenant I received at that mountain was about blood. The blood of animals, the blood of bulls and sheep and goats, blood thrown over people and houses and furniture, or sprinkled over them instead. Blood which in the end constantly says, "You're guilty. You've sinned. You're wrong in God's eyes." Because the bloodletting is so constantly repeated, needing to be done again and again, it shows that the blood of animals can never really take away sin. Well, that's what I received at the mountain on a day I'll never forget, a day of violence and sudden loud noises and a voice we all wanted to get away from. It was absolutely terrifying. It is absolutely glorious. We arrived at the mountain more alive than we'd ever been. Born again, a new creation, spiritually alive from the dead. It hadn't always been like that. For many years we'd been far from that place, far from God, sinning without even realizing we were doing it, slaves to our sinful habits, while all the while thinking we were free, spiritually blind and hardened and dead. But then our eyes had been opened to God and his Son. We'd given over our lives to him. And that's why we arrived genuinely alive for the first time at the mountain, at Zion. Oh, I don't mean that place you can go to on a trip by flying in an aeroplane to Tel Aviv. The place where King David captured in a daring raid and where Solomon built his temple. I mean the real Mount Zion, where God really does live, where you can come and bow before him in his very presence. And I know what you'll say. We haven't reached there yet. That's for after Christ's second coming, when with new bodies we'll be shown into heaven itself. You're right, of course. At least, in part, you are. There are much greater joys to come. But the reality is, you and I have arrived already. It's not that we're waiting to be brought into God's presence. We're with him already. It's not that God's Mount Zion is only for the future. We've arrived there now. Look at the top of the mountain. It's not bare. It's covered with a city. Have you been through central Italy, where it seems that every hilltop has a town perched on it? It's like that with the mountain to which we've come. There's a large city on the top. They call it Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, and it's bright with lights and joy. And on the day we arrive there, we're told very clearly, come close. Come close to God. Because this is not only or primarily a city for ordinary people like you or me, rescued people. Primarily, it's the city of the living God, the God who's alive. The replica Mount Zion, the one on earth, had a temple. A building that partly brought God nearer and partly kept you away from him. But the true Mount Zion, at which you and I as Christians have already arrived, doesn't have a building at its center. It has a person, God himself. And his message to us is, come close. You can, you must come close. That mountaintop, as I've said, isn't bare. It has a city on it. And the city isn't empty. On the contrary, there are spiritual beings everywhere. Angels, thousands and thousands of them, more than you can count. And they're all gathered together for a festival of joy and inviting us to join in with them. Yes, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. It's like a giant celebration. Like the joyful finale of your festival with Marcus Nodder, or a wonderful family wedding when two Christians are joined together as husband and wife, or perhaps even the joy of England beating Wales. With people celebrating not with that drunkenness which God hates, but with genuine, generous joy. And it's not just angels, it's humans too. People who arrived at the party before us, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, even people before their time, through the list of faithful Christians throughout the ages, down to those who are being converted today, this Sunday, all over the world, and are arriving for the first time right now. Everyone whose names are written in the Son of God's Book of Life, who are written on heaven's scroll. God loves each of us as if we were his firstborn child. He loves each of us as he does love his firstborn, his son. And now come closer still. Because here is God himself. No longer a frightening, formless voice. You are standing in his very presence. And part of the joy all around us, part of the laughter and the delight in him, is that he is judge of all. The utterly right-thinking, right-deciding judge. And in his presence, we know what we often don't see clearly when we're farther away from him, that every judgment he makes is just. Praise him. He's not there alone. He's surrounded by people. People who love him. People who owe everything to him, people who have already died and left this earth and been made perfect, sinless, by him. That's something which hasn't happened to us yet. But we're rubbing shoulders with them, enjoying what our creed calls the communion of saints as soon as we're converted and arrive at Mount Zion. By their faith, these saints are still speaking to us. Because of their faith, they're with us. Or rather, through our faith, we're with them. And now, look up again. See the person you've been waiting for. See your heart's desire. You've arrived in his presence. You're with Jesus. He brings a covenant too, an agreement between God and man, a new covenant with its promises and rules. He's not the messenger of this covenant. He's the mediator of this new covenant, the one who makes it happen. And as you look at him closer, you see blood. Blood on his hands. Blood flowing from his side. Blood being gently sprinkled on you and me and on all who love him. And this is not remotely gruesome or chilling or guilt-inducing, because this blood from beginning to end is constantly saying, you're forgiven. I know you sinned again and again, sometimes very deliberately, sometimes arrogantly, always stupidly, but you're forgiven, completely forgiven. And that's where you and I have come to. Not Sinai, but Zion. Not in gloom and darkness, but brilliant light. Yes, of course there's much more to experience after your death, after Christ's second coming, but it's here in the present. Now, you've arrived. You arrived the moment Christ called you to himself and you gave your life to him. It is absolutely glorious.